So if I continue to play devil's advocate just for a bit, right, what's the limit to that? You've talked a lot about the behaviour of teachers, and I can see that in terms of classroom behaviour and how they respond to children. A lot of people listening to this might think, well, you know, schools are about learning, children are there to learn. Are children going to be given a say in the curriculum, in how they learn, those kinds of things? Aren't teachers trained to do this?
Well, I have to say, I don't see why not. But yes, there are limits, and the limits are imposed, obviously, on schools and on teachers. But these kinds of discussions can be part of a curriculum. They, you know, you can frame them as developing skills in all areas of the curriculum. And that's why so many of the programmes that are really effective on, for example, bullying, but also on looking at racism and gender relations, are when you're using drama, you know, the creative arts, and, for example, mapping the school territory to see where the bullying takes place. You know, you can involve all parts of the curriculum in it and make things, if you like, more real for children, make what they've got to learn more real.
I think that this, again, goes to some of the heart of some of the debates around citizenship and childhood. Because, as I said earlier, one of the things that struck me about the film was that children were engaging as active citizens. And this is indeed what we are, all should be, active citizens. But we need practice at it. Adults need practice at it. Children need practice at it. And it seems to me the more engaged children are in contemplating, in actually assessing and critically evaluating everybody's behaviour, the curriculum that they're given, and that's limited for teachers as well. Teachers don't have an infinite input into the curriculum. Then it seems to me that actually really makes them active citizens. It isn't just preparation for active citizenship, it is active citizenship. And it is actually more than a lot of adults currently are being able to do. But it cuts through to some of the most contentious issues in this area. And one of them is the ideological tension between what are often posed as parents' rights, but in fact are adult rights, and children's rights and responsibilities, I mean, on both parts. And it seems to me that this is where a lot of people begin backtracking on what is a positive ideology about giving children rights and saying, oh, but issues of safety are paramount, or their education is paramount, or their age is not quite right yet. You know, we don't know what the right age is, but surely they're too young, and they're not well enough developed. And I think that these are some of the most contentious issues, in that they're not well worked through, that people disagree about them, and yet they're fundamental to sorting out some of these things. They're key.
To what extent is it possible for them to be citizens, as you say, in the here and now, as opposed to being just prepared for future citizenship, which is, of course, how children are often talked about? They're seen as an investment in the future rather than in the present.
We can certainly think of children as making contributions and being involved and participating in how their worlds are organised around them. They can't be citizens because they don't, in law, have the same rights and responsibilities as adults do. I think it would be worth looking at some of the contradictions in the position of children, though. For example, if on the one hand we're saying that 10-year-olds can be responsible in front of the criminal law, then are there other things that we should be saying they can be responsible for, like selecting the partner they're going to maybe spend the rest of their life or a small part of their life with? And I think children are affected by it. They feel very confused about what they can decide about and what decisions they're prevented from taking. I suppose if you're asking me a direct question like, when do I think children are ready to be citizens of a community, I couldn't give an age. I think that we need to think about the point that Anne made about how children are very individual. They grow and engage with themselves and other people and their relationships with other people at a different pace. So I'd probably not want to give an age, but acknowledge that, of course, they can't be full citizens. They can do more than we allow them to do at the moment.
Children are not autonomous beings any more than the rest of us are. but that what they want, their views, are often surprisingly sophisticated, or at least surprising to people who don't work with children, asking them about these issues a great deal, that it should be taken very seriously, not just into account, which might mean that you listen to it and then leave it alone, but that the onus should be on people to demonstrate why one cannot take children's views into account rather than that one can. So it should be the other way around.
Mary, can I ask you how you see a service like Childline fitting into the discussion we've been having about increasing children's rights, seeing children as active citizens? What does Childline offer them in that context?
Well, I think when Childline was originally set up, it was set up to, if you like, be a bridge between children who had previously not been able to talk about abuse particularly, and services like social services and the police. And in offering the service, I think the organisation found that they'd opened a space that they had no idea how it would be filled by children. And what children and young people did was they used it enthusiastically. And it became, for many children, the first time that it was possible for them to say, I need help, I have a need. Most of the time, children are identified as being needy by the adults in the world and taken to a source of help. And here was something that children, by virtue of the technology and that it's free, here was something that children could contact themselves and say, you know, I want to talk, I need help. And what we found in developing the service was that children didn't want matters to be entirely taken out of their hands. They wanted to be, if you like, left in charge of the problem that they had as much as possible. Or they certainly wanted to be able to have a discussion that didn't whip that responsibility away from them. When we're talking about how children talk to us, we often talk about it as its consequences. We're having a discussion, well, if you did that, what would happen? Supposing you talked to your mum on a Saturday morning, would that be a good idea? How could you begin to say to her what you've said to us? So you're beginning to help children to rehearse and to open up the options that are open to them. And I think that what we've learned from that is that the traditional services, I think, now need to change. They need to think about how accessible they are to children and whether there isn't something to be learned from this service and the way that it operates that can be applied to education, to health more broadly, and to social services and welfare.
One of the things that I think is brilliant about Childline is that it doesn't get stuck on the rhetoric of children's need. What I mean by that is that it's very common to construct what children's needs are from the outside in a way which is not at all helpful, because it's paternalistic and it makes judgments that, again, often treat children as unitary, as if they're all the same and undifferentiated. And it seems to me that one of the things that, for example, Childline publications make clear is that children, even within apparently the same groupings, gender, ethnic groups, that they are vastly different and that they can very eloquently put their own needs. I mean, after all, they've chosen to phone, so that they are a self-selected group of children. But nonetheless, it makes an important contribution to understanding of the ways in which children's needs have been constructed by adults, by outsiders previously.